My thanks to Colin for leading the meeting. Takes a bit of the pressure off you up here when somebody else does the other bits. Scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And yes, that's the passage that Morris read from last Sunday, and when he announced it, I felt a bit of a panic attack coming on, but he went in a different direction, and I really enjoyed the word that he brought. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favoured, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Now I'm going to change two words in this next phrase, where there are two words in it I don't like. And I'm going to change it to bring it more into line with the original. Therefore also that Holy One born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, we ask your blessing on the public reading of your word, and we pray that you'll bless our meditation upon it just now, and help us realize that we're in the presence of God. In his name we ask it. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? Listen, he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. There's deity there. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. There's royalty and authority. You remember Ezekiel 21, Thus saith the Lord God, Remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. God did take off the crown. Zedekiah was the last king to sit on the throne of David, and it has been no more, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is. And God says, I will give it him. The one of whom this passage speaks has the right. And having the right, in due time, he shall have the possession. Royalty and authority, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Sovereignty. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Eternity. Who is he in yonder stall? 'Tis the Lord. O wondrous story, 'tis the Lord, the King of glory. Now, before we come to that, there are some things in these verses which jump out at you. In verse 26, where we commenced reading, we see the angel Gabriel being given a message by God to a girl who lived in Nazareth. We're given a glimpse into the spirit world. Because we don't see them, perhaps at times we forget that there's another world all around us, an unseen world populated by spirit beings, some good and some evil. And when we discard our mortality, we shall see that other dimension, which at present is hidden from us. We read of the evil side in Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We thank God the Bible also tells us of good angels, and yes, guardian angels. Hebrews 1 verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The unseen world. We look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do we? Is it not the other way around? Do we not look at and live as though the things which are seen are eternal, and the things which are not seen too often receive scant attention? Notice secondly that Gabriel did what God gave him to do. Angels, who are a higher order of creation than mortals, do God's will promptly and to the letter. It's mortals like you and me who dither and delay and divert to other things when we should be given more diligence to the will of the one whom we call Lord with our lips, but sometimes something else with our lives. Another thing here, just in passing, the Almighty God is sovereign. None can stay his hand nor say, what doest thou? He could have caused Mary to become pregnant with Messiah without sending Gabriel or any other angel to tell her anything. But he didn't. He showed consideration and concern for this unknown young woman. And wonder of wonders, he sought her cooperation in this mighty event which had been planned by the Godhead from all eternity. God waited for Mary to say, as she did in verse 38, be it unto me according to thy word. You know, that would teach us that we have a God who not only cares for his children, but cares about them. Psalm 103 and verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Sometimes Denver, sometimes Doreen sings, he really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. God sought Mary's consent. That's a revelation, but it reminds us of a responsibility. If God seeks our cooperation in fulfilling his service, does it not lay on us an obligation to do so? Angels cross the vastness of space to come to us in doing God's will, but some could hardly cross the street to do something for him. But let's leave these incidentals and look at the fundamentals. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son. Back in Genesis, when God was creating the various forms of life, he decreed that each would regenerate after its kind. And so it has been. Fish produce fish, birds produce birds, animals produce animals, and humans produce humans. So it goes without saying that the son that Mary would give birth to would be human. And so it was. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The name the Lord Jesus used most of himself when he was on earth was what? Anybody like to have a guess? No, Son of Man. You'll find that name 81 times in the Gospels. And the Gospel of Luke shows us the Lord Jesus in his human capacity, Son of Man. In the opening chapters, you will find a detailed account of his birth and the circumstances surrounding it. The key to the book is found in chapter 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. It was a real man who walked the highways and byways of Judea in those days. A man who was and still is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It was a man who went back to heaven. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, that's his humanity, the Son of God, that's his deity, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. That not only showed sympathy and sorrow, but it did more. It made a statement regarding his identification with us in the trials of life, in the things we pass through, in the problems and difficulties that sin brought into the world. There's all the difference in the world between a spectator and a participator. One follows events from the sidelines, the other's involved in what's going on. One sees what is happening, but the other feels what is happening. The Lord Jesus did not come to spectate. He came to participate. He lived life at the sharp end, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Brethren and sisters, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In him we see humility, love, grace, kindness to the undeserving, forgiveness. Is that mind in you? Is it in me? A trout takes on the colour of its surroundings. If you catch one from shallower water where the sunlight penetrates to the bed of the river, the back will be golden brown and the spots will be lighter. If you get one from deep water, the back will be black and the spots dark. We profess to be in Christ. Have we taken his colour into our lives? The Sanhedrin took knowledge of Peter and John that they had been with Jesus. Let's go back to Luke 1 and verse 31. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua or Jeshua, both of which are a contraction of Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah the Saviour. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came as the servant of God to fulfil the will of God, and ultimately that would lead him to the cross so he could be our Saviour. If the Gospel of Luke sets forth the Lord as man, then the Gospel of Mark sets him forth as God's servant. You don't have anything relating to his birth or early days. It commences with Christ calling his disciples and commencing his years of service. A key verse in the Gospel of Mark is chapter 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Sidlow Baxter says Mark is the cameraman of the gospel writers, giving us shot after shot of unforgettable scenes. We see the Lord's service right from the beginning. In chapter 1, we have a demon cast out in the synagogue, a fever case healed in the home, crowds of invalids healed at the door, and a leper healed by the wayside. To quote Sidlow Baxter again, everywhere we see the Lord as the servant of divine will and human need. Is that not how we should be living our lives on earth? Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius in Acts 10 said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Lord was out in the community, helping people, getting involved with them and their problems. When are Christians going to learn that we need to get involved with people to get the gospel to them? When will we learn that we have to move out of our comfort zones and go to where people are? We call ourselves followers of Christ. If he went about doing good, should we not be doing the same? When did you last help someone outside the circle of your family or friends for Christ's sake? We're all good at knowing what someone else should do. But in Colossians 1, Paul prayed for the Colossian believers that they would know God's will for themselves in order that they might be able to walk worthy and serve the Lord. This is what he said, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Do you see what he's saying? They needed first to be filled with the knowledge of his will before they could walk worthy and be fruitful in the Christian life. And say to Archippus and to John and to Jennifer and to George and to Geraldine, take heed to the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. When we come to the end of the journey of life, we all want to be able to say, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do, and the time to do something about it is now. A few years ago, my son and his family went on a cruise, and the ship docked at a port in Italy. A lot of people got off and went sightseeing. Two women weren't back in time, and the ship went without them. They got sidetracked and forgot their priorities. Christian, don't get sidetracked on the voyage of life. Keep your priorities before you. Don't miss the boat. Back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Not only Son of Man, but also Son of God. For he who was in the form of God, he who was God in essence, laid aside the externals of his glory, of his deity, but did not cease to be what he had always been. It was God who sat in Peter's boat on the blue waters of Galilee and spoke to that vast crowd gathered on the shore on the great matters of eternity. It was God who sat on Sychar's well and waited for the woman with the water pot. It was God who looked up into the sycamore tree and called Zacchaeus. And it was the Almighty God who tenderly lifted the little children in his arms and blessed them. Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. The Gospel of Luke answers the Son of Man, but the Gospel of John reveals him as Son of God. John 17, verse 5. That now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was, he is, he always will be God in the fullest sense of the word. Revelation 1 and 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. If you take the first two words of that verse and the last two, he said, I am the Almighty. And that settles it. Why did God come to earth as he did, how he did, when he did? Well, the answer to that question is like a diamond. It has many facets. He came to reveal God to us. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He came as the King of the Jews. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. Again he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. And there's more, but it's all summed up in John 6 and verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I'm going to leave one facet of that diamond with you this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mrs. Alexander was absolutely right. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. If Christ had not come, we were lost. hopelessly, helplessly lost, and would have been eternally lost. As there was one place of safety in Noah's day, and one way of safety when the destroying angel passed through Egypt, so there is one place and one way of safety today, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We look beyond the trappings of Christmas 2017, beyond the lights and the tinsel, and we see a loving God, an enabling Holy Spirit, for it was through the Eternal Spirit he offered himself without spot to God. And that verse, Hebrews 9 and 14, in it you see the Trinity working in unity to provide salvation for all who will come. The world of Christendom will talk at this time of the year of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Both are in short supply. There are around 200 countries in the world today, and the Institute for Economics and Peace estimate that only 10 are without conflict, either internally or externally. Nationally and internationally, the world is a battlefield. As for goodwill, 2017 will be remembered as a year in which, in so many places, people were murdered by the score just to make some sort of a statement by someone to whoever. It's Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity, the Prince of Peace. One day there will be universal peace, but only when the Prince of Peace comes and rules and reigns. In the meantime, let us then who profess his name remember that Matthew 5 and 9 still says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Here's something for you to think about. If your relationship with your brother, your sister in Christ, was the thermometer of your spirituality, what would it say about you? One last one back to Luke 1 and verse 33 this time. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. In Acts 1 verse 9 we read, And when he had spoken these things, the Lord Jesus, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Come in like manner. How did he go? Well, he went literally, and he will return literally. He went visibly. He will return visibly. He went from earth to heaven. He will return from heaven to earth. What a day it will be when the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and this war-weary world will sing the hallelujah chorus. When the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. When they beat their spears into plowshares, when they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and the nations learn war no more. When the earth yields her fullness, and the plowman overtakes the reaper, and the lion lies down with the lamb, when they neither hurt nor destroy any more. Many would look out over the world today and say in despair, how can these things be? But we go back to Luke 1 and remember what Gabriel said to Mary, with God nothing shall be impossible. The Gospel of Matthew reveals the Lord as King. It's not so much a key verse in Matthew as a key word. The word kingdom appears 21 times. It's the gospel of the King. And one day those of us who are his will share his kingdom with him. The Lord's first advent is history. The second is prophecy. And just as all prophecies relating to the first were fulfilled, so we wait for the fulfillment of those relating to the second. Before that happens, the Lord will come back to the earth for his own and take us home. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, 2018 could be the year that that will happen. Are you living with that in view? Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope in them purifieth themselves, even as he is pure. One last thing. On December the 17th in 1903, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, made the first powered flight in an aeroplane on a beach in North Carolina. When it happened, on their instruction, they sent another brother, Lauren, to the office of the Dayton Journal newspaper to give them the report of that event. The man on duty that day turned Lauren away because he didn't appreciate the importance of what had happened. Instead of what might have been, the headline they published in their newspaper was this: stores are filled with Christmas shoppers. And they missed what was probably the scoop of the century. The stores are still filled with Christmas shoppers. And the world today, like the Dayton Journal in 1903, still misses the importance of what has happened. People still put to one side the greatest news that ever fell on a human ear and still focus on lesser things. On that first Christmas, Christ too was turned away. There was no room in the inn. Let's remember to focus on the main event over this Christmas season. May you all have a happy Christmas. May God bless you.